Now, whether we agree or disagree with how religious denominations, institutions, and leaders impact public policy, it is essential to maintain the constitutional balance upon which our nation was built and which has sustained us for over two centuries. Front and center in this work is Interfaith Alliance, and I am happy to welcome Alliance President Rabbi Jack Moline back to State of Belief Radio. Jack, thanks for being with us again.
Always good to be back together again, Wilton.
Various faith leaders stepped up responsibly in connection with the child separation policy, and it's likely that this had some effect on what we've seen happen in the past few days. We're always warning of the risks of religion meddling in our government. So was it a good or bad thing in this case, do you think?
Well, I think, as I believe you do, Welton, that there should be no restrictions on the ability of people of faith to express their values in the public square. And you can't separate what people believe as a matter of faith from what people believe as a matter of constitutional principle. So I think it's very important for everyone of any faith or of no faith to express their values on issues of importance like this. I do not believe, and I have no evidence to put forward other than what's happened in the past year and a half, I do not believe that the president's heart was moved by the professions of faith. I do believe that when he recognized that even his base, even the people he's been throwing red meat to, were horrified by pictures of children being wrenched from the arms of their parents and placed in cages indefinitely, I think he realized he couldn't get away with this. And if that's the only value that faith and religion have served here, I'm very happy for it. I don't consider it entanglement. I consider it to be the voice of sanity.
Do you have any principles that listeners can use to make a kind of determination on a case-by-case basis of when the religious community speaks out and when it needs to be religious and not politically influential?
That's a great question. It's a terrific question. So I need to answer it in two different ways. First of all, we at Interfaith Alliance try to model what is permissible and even admirable for 501c3 organizations and faith-based organizations to participate in as members of the American body politic, which is to say that we have something to offer on matters of public policy and public conduct that flow from our faith commitments and the faith commitments of our coalition partners and allies. We have, I think, a civic responsibility to offer those approaches, and I think we have, each of us in his or her own way, a faith responsibility to offer those insights, as do people who don't agree with us, either politically or in faith, to present those for consideration in the open square of ideas that is the free marketplace our founders envisioned. So we try to model that. We stay away from endorsements during elections. We do not promote or oppose the nominations of people to public positions based on anything other than the issues that are in front of us. So I think that's extraordinarily important for us to do, for us to model. When an institution of any kind suggests that there is some standard other than the constitutionally based rule of law in this country that should govern the policies that we are discussing, then those folks have crossed the line from participation in the public square to violation of the separation of church and state. And we have seen this continually on the part of the religious right. I don't want to say it never happens on the left, but it is a matter of practice on the right and a matter of incidence on the left. And that's what we at Interfaith Alliance are trying to oppose. If you hear someone saying, for example, that we can separate families because of a verse in Romans that supersedes whatever common decency and the rule of law suggests, that's a violation of the separation of church and state.
There is a big difference between a religious leader saying God wants us to take care of families and prevent child abuse and saying God wants you to vote for the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. How do you, day in and day out, how do you draw the line here?
Well, the Johnson Amendment has drawn the line for us. That's the simplest answer. And the efforts to overturn it, which are continuing, and I want to urge listeners to pay very close attention to what's going on, because there are constant attempts to slip language about repealing the Johnson Amendment into bills that have nothing to do with the First Amendment or the tax code. The Johnson Amendment makes that very clear what the difference is. I know it is difficult for people of faith, of any kind of faith, and on the right or the left of the spectrum, to understand the difference between God wants us to take care of the poor and the suffering, and God wants us to put in place a candidate who will take care of the poor and the suffering. I know that's hard to understand. But it's hard to understand, and I mean no insult to anybody when I say this, it's hard to understand only if your starting point is, what does faith demand of me? If your starting point is, what does the Constitution demand and permit, it's not difficult at all.
Do you think what we've been through these last several days is some kind of turning point, or is it a breaking point, or what is it?
Well, I've given up looking for the bottom in what some segment of America is willing to tolerate from the President of the United States. I'd like to think we've reached it with this, with the specter of thousands of children being taken from their parents. And I will make a statement of faith here. Only God knows how we're going to reunite those families, because we're dealing with people who, if they're verbal at all, don't speak English and can't identify who their parents were or how to reach them. I hope that America is horrified by some of these policies, and that the people who are standing with these awful, awful policy decisions will now begin to demand, in the same terms and tones that they have utilized in this fiasco, a kinder and gentler and more reasonable approach to governance. And if our current president can provide that, more power to him. If he cannot, then it is important to consider who might be able to influence him or influence Congress to have better policies.
What other issues of national importance would you like to see a more concerted, faith-inspired effort to address?
So thank you, Welton, because sometime in the next 3 to 5 days, the Supreme Court is going to make a decision on the president's multiple attempts to ban Muslims from some destinations from entering this country. And this is something that has been going on, as everyone knows, from essentially the first day of the Trump administration. And no matter what the decision of the Supreme Court is, it will not be the last we hear of attempts to restrict the influx of people who legally want to come into this country. We're now not talking about building a wall anywhere. We're talking about putting up obstacles to people who apply legitimately for visas, who want to come for education or for family reasons or to contribute to the American economy. They're going to be prohibited if the president has his way. So that's an extremely important issue to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. Secondly, speaking of the Supreme Court, you know, we just had this very peculiar and very narrow ruling on the Masterpiece Cake case. There are other such issues that are facing states and localities and that are making their way to the Supreme Court again. The ability of people of lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender orientation to enjoy the same civil and commercial rights as people who are straight in this country is under challenge constantly. And if we're not constantly reminding ourselves that we have to keep an eye on these things, there are forces that are well organized and that are purposely ignoring these larger issues that are sucking up all the oxygen in our attention span, who are going to slip in and are going to cause tremendous damage to dear and wonderful people who are equal citizens of the United States. And I don't want us to overlook, not only from a faith-based perspective, but from a rights perspective, the relationship between law enforcement and minority communities, and what is attendant with those, and the use of guns in our society, which has created a tremendous amount of havoc and an unconscionable amount of loss of life. All of those things are continuing to progress as issues in our country, while the rest of us are bursting into tears as we see babies separated from their parents, or are horrified by the most recent use of World War II rhetoric to justify policies.
Jack, tell us what you've been busy doing that it is important for people who care about the work of Interfaith Alliance need to know.
So I will tell you our very inside baseball piece of news, which is simply wonderful, that we have, for the first time in a couple of years, been able to expand our staff at Interfaith Alliance. And we are just about to welcome our new policy advisor, sponsored and funded by the Ula May and John Baugh Foundation of San Antonio, Texas, Catherine Joseph. She will join our staff in less than 2 weeks, and I know that she'll be a guest soon after on State of Belief. Katie comes to us with a reputation for looking out on the horizon at desired results and constructing in reverse order what we need to do in order to achieve those results. So I am just thrilled that I will have a partner who will educate me and set me on the right path here so that we can pursue some more of these things. And that's what we've been focused on here, is finding the right person. We had over 200 applications for this position, and we were very fortunate to find just the right person.
Rabbi Jack Moline is president of Interfaith Alliance, Protecting True Faith and Freedom. Jack, you're doing a terrific job, and I hope you wake up every morning knowing how important the work that you're doing is and how much our nation needs the work of Interfaith Alliance.
Well, and thank you for those good wishes, and I would have been satisfied if you put a period at the end of "I hope you wake up every morning."